B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, look, here's the thing I agreed with McPhail on. I don't think they're winning the World Series this year with any move they make.
They're not.
So I agree with him there. The thing I don't disagree with is you have to address next year's rotation now. Because I think the crown jewels next year are Zach Wheeler and Gerrit Cole. And there's no guarantees that you're going to get either of them. And Zach Wheeler has an injury history. Even then, it's kind of like a risky thing. Gerrit Cole's the crown jewel. But guess what? When you're the crown jewel, you're going to have multiple teams after you.
Yeah, a lot of, and big money teams and teams that are ready to win and all that stuff.
So I want to go get a guy with multiple years of control now. And that's why Madison Bumgarner is on the bottom of my list of guys that they're rumored to be after. If they were to get him, look, it's I think it's a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't want to give up any
pieces
prospects
for somebody that can
leave. I'm always proven versus the unknown, but I'm also...
Mad Bum is a team, like, if you're in a Twins or a Red Sox who think you still have a chance, or, you know, even like a Tampa Bay who doesn't have these chances all the time.
Right.
Go get the guy. If you think you can win a World Series, you go get Madison Bum.
Yeah, I don't want to do that this year. But what was surprising...
But I do want to get somebody because we need a body in there that can throw the baseball better than three of the guys we got.
But what was surprising me last night was that a lot of people said, no, don't make any trades. And then one guy even said that they should trade JT Realmuto.
Like, no.
Like, I had a caller saying that they should be sellers.
No, you have to keep Realmuto. You have to sign him long term.
And I was like, wait a minute. Are people, like, already... Do they think the season's over? Well, what's the point of just going for a wild card?
I don't know.
Get into the playoffs and anything can happen.
To get experience for Aaron Nola in the playoffs?
And anything can happen come playoff time.
Look, I mean, you can compare it to the Sixers. That playoff experience that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid gained the last 2 years is invaluable going forward. So I always disagree with that. You always play for it. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're going to get into the narrow stuff. I hate to keep teasing it, but the football stuff is a little more pressing. We'll get into it in a second. But a tweet just came in from Tainted Philly and says, hey, Salchunas, who has a wedding during football season? Whipped?
No.
Calling you out, bro.
No, I'm not whipped.
You going to take that? Tainted Philly's calling you out.
Sorry. The wedding's on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'll watch the Eagles on Sunday, the next day.
Oh, the Saturday wedding.
Isn't that normal?
Yeah.
Who does Temple play that day?
Ooh.
That's a good question.
Ooh.
Is
Salchunas really a Temple fan? 610-632. Let's get the poll up, man.
I don't know how I'm whipped if I'm getting married during the football.
I was actually married during football season as well. My 5-year anniversary is coming up. That was the end of September. I had to take a game off of Sunday Night Football at the time to do it, and it wasn't a great move. You know, they weren't like pumped.
Let me also mention that, you know, I do the baseball show throughout the season and all that stuff.
Wait, you do a baseball show?
Yeah, Fanatic Baseball Show, 6-7, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday,
it's
Friday. You got to get the word out on that.
It's actually live on LA Sportsnet. Dodgers talking baseball. You remember Coffee Talk with Mike Myers on SNL? It's kind of like that, only it's talking Dodgers with Andrew Salchunas because he loves Russell Martin and Dave Roberts after the display yesterday. Shame on you. Shame on you.
All right, stop. Stop trying to push this narrative.
I mean, you do have an Hideo Nomo jersey on right now.
I saw an Andre Ethier Scherzi yesterday.
That's not that bad.
That was weird.
He was a decent player, but come on, what was that, like 25?
He was a really good player.
You
know,
but I agree with Jamie's point. You have this talented roster right now, and you're going with the Andre Ethier jersey.
But when I see that, at least I know the guy's probably a legit fan.
That's true.
Kind of bandwagon hopper.
That's a fair point.
That's like when I see Bobby Abreu jersey.
I was going to say, when you bust out your Marlon Byrd jersey, I go, all right, that guy suffered for a while. I get it.
Yeah, that's why I wear a Ben Revere shirt.
There's a name I never want to hear again. What's his career home run total? Did it ever get over three?
I think it's three. I'll check.
That's unbelievable. You would think by accident.
He had more singles than a stripper for a while, all right?
All right, real quick. Seven
home runs for Ben Revere.
Ah, look at that.
Yeah, he had a big season in 2014 with the Phils when he had two.
I mean, that's pathetic. You would think once as a major leaguer, just by accident, you get the fat part of the bat on the ball and it goes, but not for old Ben Revere. So last night, I loved what Hector Neris did. And I understand, you know, he's 18 of 22 on the year for save opportunities. I think that Neris hate has gotten a little overblown here lately.
I don't hate Hector Neris.
No, I think he's solid. Relying on a splitter full-time as a closer is a risky, risky game.
Especially when he doesn't know where it's going.
Yeah.
Like, every time he's blown a save, it's because the splitter is right over the middle of the plate.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because these guys are sitting splitter because he's not throwing the fastball that often. And if a splitter is coming, if you can recognize the spin sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
If the ball is coming at your knees, you know it's going to drop to the dirt, so don't swing.
Yeah, yeah.
So what Hector Neris does when he's down in the count, he's got to try to throw a strike, and for some reason he's going with, all right, let me get the get-me-over splitter. And then it's right over the middle of the plate. Yeah, what are they going to do with it?
Tattoo it into the stands. I hear you, but the look, I don't think it's an accident that the Dodgers stepped on Rhys Hoskins' ankle twice yesterday.
I agree.
Twice. And look, you're David Freese. You take one in between the shoulder blades. Was it a little high? Absolutely.
I was on purpose, too.
Yeah, it was on purpose.
And that was all out of frustration because he got rocked again.
Yeah, I hear you. But you got to hit the guy in the ass.
Yeah.
You can't throw at his head. That's where it became a fine line. And look, Ricky Bo was on with us this morning, and he said, hey, look, if you're not going to bean the guy, you got to get him back somewhere else. And no doubt, stepping on. And look. In all honesty, stepping on a guy's ankle twice when he's stretched out like that is a far more dangerous thing than throwing it at somebody's back.
Yeah, probably. Sure.
Dude, metal spikes, ligament damages, Achilles, ankles, you're running full speed. You could break that guy's ankle in a heartbeat. How many guys have you seen actually get thrown at that?
I mean, the helmet's, it's not like it's totally safe.
I hear you. I hear you.
A 95-mile-per-hour fastball.
But most guys that are throwing at somebody have enough control to put it where they want. Stepping on somebody's ankle, you have no control over anything. So that was a dirty scumbag move.
Yes,
and there's no doubt that Dave Roberts called that in. Because they don't like us, we don't like them, screw them, and Hector Neris went out there, and he showed you some damn fight. And I don't care that he screamed, bleep you at their Dodgers dugout. Toughen up. Russell Martin's out there crying, saying some pretty nasty stuff because there's a lip reading video of him out there, and he said something pretty vile.
Okay, listen.
So screw him, screw Dave Roberts, and yay Hector, throw at him again and back it up. Somebody's got to show some emotion on this team that's not named Bryce Harper, so go for it, Hector. Say it with your chest.
Okay, before people take me the wrong way, because you and Pat have been trying to paint me the wrong way all day, I think the Dodgers are babies.
Yeah.
I don't think Russell
Baseball players need to toughen the
hell
up.
I don't think they should be getting onto the field and shouting back to Hector Neris. But
like Justin Turner walking off the field like he's going to charge the entire Phillies team. Bro, take your ginger beard, go back in the dugout, and get your ass back to L.A. You're out of here. See ya.
Here's why I have a problem with what Hector Neris did. He blew a save a couple nights before, right?
And look, throwing at a guy after a home run is a coward move. But guess what? He had Reese's back.
Yesterday, he almost blew a save because he gave up a home run early in the inning. And then the last out was inches away from going over the fence, and he would have blown
his
third straight save opportunity.
If my aunt had balls, she'd be my uncle, Andrew.
Other reasons. Hector Neris, in 12 outings against the Dodgers, has an 8.49 ERA and has allowed 11 home runs. So Hector Neris doesn't really
have... The Dodgers own him. And Max Muncy had a pretty good quote. He was like... You know, I asked about the emotion. He was like, well, look, I mean, the guy's blown like 8 of his last 12 save opportunities versus us. So I guess he's finally happy he got one.
Yes.
And that's pretty good smack talk back. But to Dave Roberts, like, cry me a river, dude. Like, you think we're dumb baseball fans here? No. You stepped on Rhys Hoskins' ankle twice, and Hector went out there and had his back. So I'm all about it. Show some fight. Show some passion. Show some fire. I liked it.
You know what? Hector Neris is lucky. Why he's lucky?
Why?
If they face him again, it's not going to be until the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's not like they're playing another game today.
Yeah, but like Russell Martin crying. He said something pretty vile, so screw him.
The Dodgers are weak in the hallway
because you said bleep you to you. Shut up, dude. Do you know how much smack talk goes on in the NBA? Like, it's part of the game. Get over it. Get over yourself.
The Dodgers are weak, too, but it's like, Hector, come on, dude. You almost blew another save.
I don't care.
Chill out.
I don't care. He had Reese's back. That was garbage. That was baloney. That's worse than throwing at somebody. That's a scumbag move.
All right. I'm happy. Good passion.
Yeah. I support
passion.
I stand with Hector. Graf and Media, what's going on, Graf?
Yo, dude, I didn't mean to double dip today, but, you know, I do my
best. All right, you know, when you bring such cultivating topics to the air.
Oh, stop it, man. Yo, I am, you got me so hyped up about Hector Neris, game. You are so right, dude.
Yeah, screw the Dodgers. Screw you, Dave Roberts.
Absolutely. You know what happened one time in my life? I went down to the Phillies game. We were playing like the Mets, and this like this homeless dude strolls in. You know, they stroll into K Lot and everything else. They're asking for food and stuff. So I get him a cheeseburger. I noticed he has a Dodgers hat on his head. Right? And I'm like, no, dude. I'm like, that Dodgers hat. Are you a Dodgers fan? He's like, no, I just need a hat. So I was like, all right. Well, I took my white Phillies hat off my head, put it on his head, took the lighter fluid, doused that Dodgers hat in lighter fluid, and lit it on fire.
That's good work out of you, Graf. You're feeding the man, and you're giving him a Phillies hat. You're commendable efforts.
Yeah, Andrew, stop sticking up for the Dodgers, bro. You're done. All right. Yo, you probably saw Aaron Boone's little freak out. My boys are bleeping savages in the box with Wayne, too, didn't you?
I thought that was awesome. No, we'll play that for you coming up.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was great. I love it. He's like, get your bleep together now. It was awesome. It was great.
I thought it was great.
And Brett Gardner had such a roid rage in the dugout. What a spaz.
Oh, man. He's sitting there hitting the top of the... Oh, whatever.
That's pretty funny, actually. Like,
you know what else is cool? The Yankees are in first place. The
yeah, they're very good.
All right.
And they have a farm system.
Hector Neris' blue save the night before.
In the box. That's why they're so good. They're bleeping savages in the box.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means. Does that mean they know the strike zone better than the umpire? Like, what the hell does that even mean? Yeah, they're good hitters,
I called because you guys are talking birds, man, and it's the first good birds conversation I've heard on the airwaves this year, so I'm happy about it. And my number one concern right now is we haven't had very much pass blocking from any of our running backs last year, especially.
Yeah. Deuce has got his hands full this year.
Yeah, man, I'm super concerned about Jordan Howard, but most importantly, I'm super concerned about Saquon Barkley .025 because he's injured right now. Doesn't he have a hammy problem?
I don't know exactly. You mean Miles Sanders? My bad. I thought you said Saquon. Yeah, no, he does have a soft tissue.
.025.
Okay, I got you. No, and Graf, thanks for the call, buddy. Yeah, Miles Sanders has the a weird soft tissue thing. I don't know what exactly it is. I believe it is a hamstring. Kept him out of OTAs, which is a big learning process for the rookies. You know, that's why I think he'll be a big impact player in the second half of the season. I think he's probably going to be off to a slow start because he's got to fix that fumbling issue he had at Penn State. And, you know, he has to be. You can't put him out there unless he's a suitable pass protecting blitz pickup guy. Because, look, game one against the Falcons last year, you saw Darren Sproles, a veteran of this league, blow a blitz opportunity pickup, and it cost Carson Wentz a hit.
And Darren Sproles was normally pretty good at it.
And he's damn good at it. So if Darren Sproles can miss one, Miles Sanders sure as hell can. So he's got to get all that stuff. We got full lines. Really excited to talk to all you guys. Great football talk out there today. And Dave Roberts and the Dodgers are coward, love chicken that. Bleep, and Hector Neris was completely in the right. You're listening to the 97.5 Midday Show. Jamie Lynch in with Andrew Salchunas. Time at the Fanatic 1212.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. Filling in for Anthony Gargano and Jason Mertidis. I'm Jamie Lynch in with Andrew Salchunas. Chunas just fired me up about Dave Roberts.
Well, I gotta apologize.
What do you got? And I made a slight mistake. I said Wentz was sacked against the Falcons. Somebody pointed out it was actually Foles, but same idea.
Right, all right, because he missed the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. And I kind of blocked that out of my mind.
But I got to apologize to you. I lost a fan today.
Oh, what'd you do?
Apparently, I've been busting your balls every chance I can the last 2 days.
I mean, I'm a ball buster. I can take it.
But
isn't this what we do? Friends talking sports, having fun, being loose?
But I don't know. Like, I respond to him. I was like, what is it that I said? Like, this is how we talk off air, too.
Yeah, Jamie's not Dave Roberts.
Yeah.
I am not soft. I am not a Major League Baseball player. I am not Russell Martin.
And
he said I'm
being defensive, but like, I don't want people thinking I'm a Dodgers fan because the two of you are ganging up on me, calling me a Dodgers fan.
No, Andrew is not a Dodgers fan. He just supports Dave Roberts and Russell Martin.
So,
that's all.
Mr. James Bell on Twitter, I'm sorry.
Apologize.
I hope you're... I did.
I want to play the sound, in case you didn't hear it, why I think Dave Roberts is such a baby, takes it personally. Here's the sound yesterday after the game. Dave Roberts is caught in the locker room and asked about the Hector Neris bleep bomb thrown at the Dodgers dugout.
We played this game, this series, the right way.
No, you didn't.
Straight. And so to look in our dugout and to taunt in any way, I think it's unacceptable. To look in our dugout, you know, I think that exceeds the emotion. Look in your own dugout. So I think our guys took it personal, which I took it personal.
Oh, did you? We played the game the right way? I'm sorry, is stepping on a first baseman's ankle with metal baseball spikes playing the game the right way, Dave?
No, back-to-back batters, too.
Yeah.
Like, no, I agree with you.
I know you do.
I think they're being weak when it comes to all that stuff.
What's he supposed to do? He's going to throw a bleep you at his own dugout? Shut up, Roberts. He's playing the game with passion. If you didn't want him to get the save, maybe you should have beat him again. Well, all right?
They almost did.
They almost they did. Really, but they did it. They didn't. So shut up, Roberts.
No, I agree with you. I think they're being baby.
Toughen up.
Baby soft. You know
baseball
what I'm saying?
Players are so soft. Like, they really are. And I know you're a baseball player. Tyler Zuli in the backs of baseball. You know, it might be a little painting with a broad brush stroke here, but I don't care. Like, toughen up, dude. Go listen to the smack talk in the NFL. You think bleep you is personally offensive? Grow a pair. Like, come on, man. Seriously?
Man, this has fired you up today.
I think it's really soft to the Dodgers. Shut up. You want to challenge them in the fight? That's fine. Hey, maybe don't drop a slur when you're calling Hector Neris a name, Russell Martin. Maybe look into that, Major League Baseball.
How about that?
Somebody slowed it down.
No touching of the hair or face.
But seriously, like, Justin Turner's walking back all slow, doing the chest out puff, like, oh my God, I have to come out there and fight this whole team. Do it. Do it. He's out there waiting for you. You're so tough. Why has it got to be behind closed doors? You got an entire baseball diamond. Brawl.
Oh, by the way.
I don't care. Brawl.
Because
cowards.
We were on during the game yesterday. We didn't really get a chance to watch too much of the YouTube TV, but did you catch like the second half of the game?
No, I had a crying baby when I got home, and I followed it on the app.
So they actually like went away from it.
Did they really?
Yeah, so they showed the dugout sort of, because obviously that's the only video that you saw is from the YouTube TV, but the announcers didn't even talk about it.
Really?
Like, they were doing like the wrap-up of the game and stuff. They did not even show any attention to what was going on.
That's pretty weird.
Yeah, the announcer
kind of the story of the game.
The announcer was terrible. Pat, if you can, my show folder from yesterday, Adam Haseley hit his first career home run. If you can grab that.
I know Mike Miss was pumped about that.
Yeah, I know he was. But
his tweet yesterday had
Pat, let me know when you get a chance to get it, because here's the problem with this the YouTube TV thing. The guy who's doing the play-by-play, I said this last night during the baseball show.
I didn't listen to 1 second of him.
Well, I don't even know his name. He did the Facebook games, too, last year.
Okay.
So they're doing the exact same format.
I thought the production value was decent on Facebook last year, but I got to be honest, I never really listened to the announcer there.
They don't go to commercial break. You know, they have a color analyst from both teams. So John Kruk and Oral Hershiser were the two guys. But I don't know who the play-by-play guy is, and I'm never going to really look up his name because he's terrible.
Really?
Adam Haseley hits his first career home run, and I get it. He has no attachment to the Phillies, so it's not like he's like, oh, look at that, the first career home run. But even if it was another home run for Bryce Harper.
Was it a Oppo Boppo?
No. We'll get the audio for you because I need you to hear it. But it was like, here's a hit, home run, gone. Grab that baseball. All right, so here's the home run call. I don't know the guy's name. Forgive me.
It's like a minor league game.
But take a listen to this.
In the air, deep drive for Haseley. That's gonna go. Get that baseball. It's his first career home run.
All right, at least he knew that.
Adam Haseley makes it 2-2.
Come on, man, show some life.
That ball's gonna go.
Grab that baseball. Like, dude, come on, man. You got to have a little life to it.
I hear you. So we've been talking a lot about what cowards the Dodgers are this morning. Dave Roberts and Russell Martin, ultimate tough guys. You know, Russell Martin, if you really wanted to go throw hands with Hector, you could have found him out on the field.
Who wins that fight? Hector's a little younger.
Hector's got a huge head, so I feel like he could take a couple punches.
Maybe Russell Martin's a catcher, though, so he's got to be tough.
Yeah, he's tough,
Long-time
but I feel like
catcher.
He's a lot of bark and not a lot of bite. He's Canadian, right?
I don't know.
You know, he's got maple syrup in those veins.
He's Canadian.
He's Canadian? Yeah, he's got all that maple syrup slowing him down. I give it to Hector, man.
Okay.
Hector, I feel like, can take a punch. You see the size of that dome piece? I'm a 7 5/8 hat. I think he's got me like whooped.
7-5 I think I'm 7 3/4
Okay.
Yeah. Depends on the hair I got.
Yeah, Hector's melon can take a couple punches. I'll take Hector.
All right.
And he had Reese standing right there. Reese is a big man. He's a Cali boy. Maybe he's a pacifist, but
I got a problem.
Justin Turner.
I got a little problem
with slow walk
Reese.
Back.
I got a little problem with Reese.
What?
Okay. My man gets thrown
we'll
out.
We'll get back to Jose's up next. We'll get to you guys in 1 second on the phones.
My man gets thrown out all the time. All the time. And then he gets clipped. He gets stepped on and then clipped. Say something, dude. Come on, stick up for yourself. Like, I'm
Look,
serious. Like,
Reese is the leader in the clubhouse. He should have turned around and been like, on the second one, you want to throw?
Yeah, like, my problem with Reese is not that he does, like, I'm not calling him soft, but say something, dude.
Yeah,
like,
no, you have to.
It's going to keep on happening.
Yeah.
You're going to get thrown at every single time because
oh, yeah, Mets.
I think other teams know that you're not doing anything about it.
Well, Ricky brought something up today, and he said, look, you know, we love Reese here, but we don't know how other teams view Reese, and there's a reason that this keeps happening to him. It's a fair point.
Yeah, like,
is he angering other teams? Do they know they can get away with it? Something's up there. You're not wrong. Like, yeah, he should have turned around and said, all right, let's go.
Like, come on, dude. It keeps on happening to you.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets threw at him, what, 4 times already this year? It seems like it was a lot. And that's a dangerous play, man, with baseball spikes and an athlete running full speed at you, and you step on the guy's Achilles? I'm turning around. I'm ready to fight.
Yeah, I mean, I've been stepped on, like, a toe. Like, my toe's been stepped on with one of those cleats.
The one was nasty.
Imagine right down your Achilles. That's tough.
And look, you know, a play at the bag, you're kind of supposed to hit the outside of the bag a little bit. I'm not saying, like, turn off. You're supposed to run right through. But you should be touching the outside of the bag.
You're not supposed to be on the inside part of the bag. By the way, I'm being told that, I see, because we were doing the show during the game yesterday, John Kruk actually apparently called out from the YouTube.
This guy was alone?
No, it was Ben Davis who said, grab that baseball.
Oh, so the guy didn't even know.
No.
I gotcha.
That was Ben Davis.
So, yeah, we're talking a lot about that. And the other Eagles topic we got into today, because there's a football itch. You know, camp starts on Thursday. I can't wait. You know, the Eagles playoff game has been on NFL Network the past 2 days. And I've enjoyed every second of watching it up until the Alshon drop. I bowed out before that. But it's been great theater. I can't wait for football to be back. And we're asking a very simple question. Obviously, Carson Wentz is the most important Eagles player this year. Everybody will agree with that.
Yes.
The team goes as he goes. Him staying injury-free is the most important thing, no doubt. Who's the next most important Eagle? Mine is Derek Barnett. Yours is DeSean Jackson.
Yep.
Pat's is Brandon Brooks. We've had a lot of good answers out there. We finally got Doug Peterson as an answer not that long ago. There's another coach out there that I think has a lot of pressure on him as well that I got texted in.
On the Eagles staff?
Yeah. That said, I can't believe this name hasn't been said yet. So let's go back to the phone line to say what people are saying.
Sorry. Another latest rumor, John Morosi said.
Yeah, the rumor mill in MLB is heating up.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're 12 days away, but the Phillies are now showing a lot of interest in Marcus Stroman.
I love Marcus
Stroman. Just so you guys know.
And I believe he has one more year of control.
Yeah, arbitration.
Okay. So I would do that. My only fear is that you don't avoid a Madison Bumgarner. I do not want a rental piece. That next year of control is imperative to whatever deal they make.
Yep.
Because they're going to need help next year all over again. And the free agent market next year kind of stinks. Let's go to Jose in the Northeast. What's going on, Jose?
Yo, what's going on, Andrew? How you guys doing? What's up, Jamie?
Doing great, man.
So, pertaining to your question asking which Eagle maybe is most important at the moment, I don't have a particular player, but I would say maybe the Eagle secondary.
It's a very fascinating group this year. It really is.
Yeah, it's a little scary every year, especially Jalen Mills always getting killed on a double move. Same thing with maybe a...
But the beauty of it now is, Jose, is if that's continuing to happen, and look, I think Jalen Mills gets a little too hated on. I think he's a phenomenal red zone cornerback.
I agree.
I think he stinks between the 20s a little bit, but that's neither here nor there. The purpose of defense is to keep the other team from scoring. So I think it's a little overblown. But if Jalen Mills isn't producing, and look, he's coming off an injury too, I think you have other guys that can step up and play. I am a huge Avante Maddox fan. I think the kid showed a lot last year. I think he showed a playmaking ability. So I think if he does struggle, you got guys now that can step right in, that have experience under the belt, and you can hopefully not skip a beat at all.
Nah, that's what we're praying for as Eagles fans. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
And look, Ronald Darby and Jalen Mills are on contract year, so they're playing for future money. And usually when guys pay for future money, you get the best of those players.
I'm hoping so, but you know how it is in Philly. It seems like
our Achilles heel is the ACL in Philadelphia. Baseball, basketball, or football. It's just, I don't know what it is about ACLs in Philly.
Yeah, I don't, maybe it's something in our wooder.
One more quick thing.
Yeah.
You guys were talking about maybe the most important pitcher, maybe the pitcher that you guys want most. You just brought him up. I really would enjoy seeing Marcus Stroman in Philadelphia.
I love Marcus Stroman's stuff. He struggled a little bit in Toronto. Yeah, and I think this is his kind of like bust out year.
I think he's got the perfect attitude for a Philadelphia native. You know what I mean? He's got that high spirit. He's always into the game. A little emotional, but, you know, we need that kind of thing in Philadelphia, especially in baseball.
Yeah, and he's still young enough. I forget how. I want to say he's like 28.
He's 28.
Yeah, I think he's like 28.
Yeah, exactly.
And don't look at his record. He's 5-10, but he's pitching for that
the record is the most overblown thing in baseball. He's got a 3.25 ERA this year. His whip is 1.27. He's pitched 110 innings. He's got some swag to him. I like him a lot. His strikeout rate is decent this year. I'm in on Marcus Stroman in a big way.
100% with you, brother.
Jose, you got FanFest tickets?
I do not.
We'd love to hook you up, man. Hang on. Tyler will set you up with those FanFest tickets. After Jose, we'll have two open lines if you want to get in.
Marcus Stroman is one of those guys that you hate when he's not on your team, but you'll love him when he's on
he's
your team.
He's got the chains.
Well, yeah, and not even that. It's
no, I love a pitcher with chains.
It's the windup. He changes his windup. He'll quick pitch every once in a while. He'll hesitate when his leg's up in the air. So he's one of those guys that when you're watching him and he's not in Philly's uniform, you're like, oh, I hate this guy. It's like Johnny Cueto. Like Johnny Cueto
I used to love Cueto.
Move his body back and forth.
He's
and I was like, man, I hate you. But if he was pitching well for the Phillies, I would have loved him.
Look, he's having almost a career year. Back in 2017, he had a 3.09 ERA. He's at 3.25 this year. Like you said, the whip is decent. You know, I'm in on him. I don't know exactly how much it'll cost you. Maybe, I don't even want to speculate because I don't know. But he does have that extra year of control, arbitration eligible. So I'm in on Marcus Stroman. I asked you earlier, let's hear him. You rank your pitchers because they've been tied to a lot of guys right now. You know, Robbie Rays, Madison Bumgarners, Mike Miners, Matthew Boyd from the Tigers, maybe even a Caleb Smith, who I think has like almost 3 to 4 years of control left. From the Marlins team, he's only 27 years old, I believe, as well. So there's a lot of names out there. Come on, Mr. Baseball Show. Rank your pitchers that you'd want.
I know Mike Minor is
2.73 ERA this year.
Yeah,
career year.
Here's my concern. Exactly. Career year.
But he's always been, I believe, a high prospect that this potential has been there. So I think he's a guy that maybe is finally entering his prime and reaching his potential. Well, it's a fair point. It's a little bit risky.
He's having a career year. When he was with Atlanta, he was not, I mean, in five seasons with Atlanta, he had a 4.10 ERA.
Mm-hmm.
But it is amazing what he's been doing with Texas because that's one of the hardest ballparks to pitch in.
Yeah.
I mean,
he'll tell you all about that.
So I like Mike Minor. He's a lefty. You don't have a lefty in your rotation.
He's actually 31. Okay. He's a year or two older than I thought.
Yeah. So that's part of my concern is yes, he is having a career year. What do you get out of when he comes here? If he comes here this season, I think he pitches well the rest of the year.
Actually, I'm sorry. He was a 13th round pick. I thought he was a much higher prospect than that.
So my concern is what happens as the years go on? I mean, is he just one of those guys that with age, he becomes a better pitcher? You know what I mean? Like maybe he's just becoming a better pitcher in the league. I don't know. That's
a lot. I mean, how much would you say of pitching is mental?
Oh, a ton of it.
I was gonna say
Nick Pavetta.
I want to say it's like, you know, a lot of people will say golf is 90% between your ears. I think pitching is like 70% between the ears.
Well, Pavetta Velasquez, when one thing goes wrong,
Pavetta gets like baby Skyler when she's about to cry. She does like the bottom lip thing, and you can tell it's coming. And I'm like, no, don't do it.
You see the baby lip thing out of Pavetta?
When things go wrong for Pavetta, I see the baby lips start to form, and he wears his emotions. And that's a terrible thing for a pitcher to have, because when you're in that batter's box and you're staring down the pitcher and you see that, you go, I got him.
See,
it gives you a little step of confidence.
My number one, and it's not that he is a number one pitcher.
Matthew Boyd.
Because
he's a guy entering his prime, having his career best year.
Very friendly contract. He's a lefty.
His strikeout rate is outrageous this year. It's like 12.7 per nine
And he's doing that for a terrible Tigers team.
Yeah, so don't look at his record. His ERA is slightly still north of four, so it's by no means like incredible, but I think he's a strong number
two.
And
I don't think you're going to have to give up as much. You might have to give up a little more.
Well, he's got 2.5 years of control.
Yeah,
he's
got such a team-friendly deal. So Boyd would be my number one. Stroman would be my number two. Normally, I would honestly, I may say Stroman number one because...
You can talk me into that.
I would say I want a lefty more so than a righty
now. That's Caleb Smith and Mike Minor.
Or Matthew Boyd. But because you don't have a lefty in your rotation right now. But here's the thing. Your pitching staff is so bare right now. Your pitching staff is so bad.
It's so bad. That's why I was like, Drew Smyly? All right. Yeah,
I don't care if it's a lefty. I don't care if it's a righty. I don't care if the guy kicks the ball to home plate if he's throwing strikes. It doesn't matter if it's a lefty or righty at this point because your pitching staff is so bad. Yeah. So I could say Stroman number one. I'm going to go Boyd just because he does have a friendly contract because you have 2.5 years of control.
Gotcha.
So I would probably go Boyd one. I'd probably go Stroman two, Minor three. I know Robbie Ray's out there. I don't hate Robbie Ray.
No, I'm in on Robbie Ray a little bit. But I think the Drew Smyly signing today is a precursor to something bigger
to
come.
I'm not too excited about it.
Let's get Scott and Perkasy up before the break. Scott, what's going on, man? Yo, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
Good, man. What's on you? I see you want to talk about this little Eagles conversation we're having.
Yeah, you know, I just, as much as I want to say the most important person, I would like to say the whole team, just to come together as one, especially after last year coming off the Super Bowl and then, you know, seeing what happened. And as a fan base, you know, at the same time, the fan base, I think, just needs to keep a positive mindset and trust the process.
You know that's not realistic, Scott.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, us Philly fans aren't exactly the...
No, we're not rational beings.
But I would say, even though he's the man, I'm going to say Alshon Jeffrey. I think he took that...
It's a great one.
I think he took that, you know, that catch that he missed definitely on the shoulders pretty hard last year, and I think he's going to have it in his head, and he's going to come out with some fire this year and really want to prove to everybody, like, look, that was my mistake. I'm taking that on my chin, and he's just going to roll. And I think he's just going to take it and use it as fuel.
Yeah, and look, really, and Dallas Goedert and DeSean Jackson, to that point, should make his life easier.
Absolutely.
Dallas Goedert is a playmaker. Yeah, he's going to have a bigger role, and DeSean's going to take the top off the defense.
Absolutely. And if I could say, just to bring it to
And Scott, to your point real quick, part of that is on Carson. Because Carson has to give Alshon's not a burner. He's never going to blow by guys. You got to give him those 50-50 balls and have confidence that he's going to go snatch it.
Yep. You got to have your eyes open. Look for him when he's open. You got to get it.
Yeah, even if it's a tight window, give him the chance. He'll get it.
For my man Doug Peterson, he's got to be like the water boy, Mr. Coach Clyde. And he's got to see everybody and just imagine them as somebody you're not afraid of. And just go out there with that book. And do what you do. And I'm really excited.
Open a can of whoop ass.
I'm going to open a can of whoop ass.
That's a great reference there, Scott. And you have a pair of FanFest tickets yet?
I do not.
All right. I'd love to give you a pair.
Gatorade.
I was just going to say, Gatorade is better. I love that. Underrated movie. Your most, real quick, we're on the break, most underrated Adam Sandler movie ever?
No, they're pretty much all overrated, but I love
them. How dare you?
I love all of them.
Waterboy's up there as most underrated. Mine is actually either Big Daddy or Wedding Singer.
So growing up, Happy Gilmore was my favorite.
Oh, I fell out of my seat in the theaters watching Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore.
I think Billy Madison is taking over.
As the most underrated? I would say Gilmore and Madison are his two most highly rated.
Oh, under...
Like, I think people sleep on Big Daddy a little bit. Big Daddy cracks me up.
I thought Lil Nicky was hilarious.
I'm not going to lie. That's a good one.
This chicken is bleeping good, man.
He's Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. We're filling in for Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez here on 97.5 Middays. Time at the Fanatic, 12:42.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! Welcome back into the Midday Show. Jamie Lynch, Andrew South, Chunas in with you, filling in for Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez, who are getting a little R&R on a little vacation as we all gear up here at the station for football season. And football season, oh, man, it's always like a week out when you're like, oh, I can't wait. And then training camp comes and you're like, oh, yeah, wait. We have like 3 weeks.
You mean you get bored immediately?
Like, I love it. Anthony brings it up all the time. Like, oh, I can't wait for training.
And then
camp.
It gets here and you're like, oh, this kind of sucks.
And I'm like, and it's not that exciting. Like, we're going to see them in shorts and a t-shirt. Yeah. And it's like,
oh, he's filling out those shorts, bro.
It's like, yeah, and can we get to games?
Yeah.
But he keeps on wishing. I love the summer, by the way. So it's hard working with Anthony when he wants to wish the summer away.
Yeah, he hates summer.
And
it's
I'm like,
funny.
And like, I love the heat. Like, one of my weird...
You're a psychopath.
Yeah,
because
so,
you told me this last week, I think.
Yeah, I like getting into the car when my car's been sitting in the
sun.
So,
like, when we go out here at, like, 2:15, the car's going to be, like, 110
yeah,
degrees. You're going to not turn on your air conditioning and sit in the warmth?
Yeah, and I won't open my windows.
Dude.
Like, I like that warmth.
You take cold showers and you sit in a hot car.
Yeah.
You got issues.
Like, it feels good on my body.
Look, for a second it feels good when you walk out of an air-conditioned building, and then if you got a case of the fats like me, you start sweating, and you're like, all right, I'm done. Where's the AC?
Yeah, I like it. It feels good.
If I was Christy right now, your fiance, I'd be like,
concerned?
I still have to December to back out of this, yeah. Huh? Real quick before the break, we just mentioned Adam Sandler because one of the callers brought up Waterboy. I have a confession to make. An Adam Sandler movie made me cry on a flight once. No.
I know which one.
There's a scene in it that gets you right in the feels, man.
I cried too.
My man.
If you want to cry together one weekend, we can watch the movie together.
So the movie is Click, and it's all about fast forwarding through life. If you can, you can jump around in life to different, and he starts fast forwarding through things, and there's a scene where he's dying and his kids are like over him. And he regrets fast-forwarding through life so much because he missed so much of his kid's life. And he gets emotional and it's raining and the kids are like looking over him and he's dying. And I was on a flight once for Sunday Night Football. I was flying somewhere. And luckily I had a hood on. And I'm not afraid to admit when I cry. But luckily I had a hood on. And I'm sitting around all these strangers. And it's the first time I ever saw the movie. So I didn't know it was coming. And you know when the lump starts to rise in your throat. Like this scene comes on and I'm like, oh no, I'm about to cry. So I just like grab my hood up, I throw it up, and I like kind of like hunch down a little bit, and I sobbed into my hoodie over an Adam Sandler.
No, it was a sad scene.
No,
right? it was depressing.
I'm glad you know what I'm talking about, yeah. Because that scene will get you.
Speaking of watching movies on a flight, Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh yeah, I watched that on a flight as well.
About 5-10 minutes in, there's a sex scene.
I don't remember it.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'm sitting there.
I'm always amazed that the airlines let those movies on.
It's not a good sex scene, by the way.
No, it's not. But I'm in the middle of the row, uh-huh. And I was either going to or coming back from Lithuania, so it was an international flight.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
There's four seats, so I'm one of the two middle seats, and I got two people to my left and one guy to my right.
They look over,
and my family's sitting in a different section, so it's three random people, and like it just starts happening, and I'm like, oh god.
That is pretty awkward.
It was like hour one in the flight.
I even feel bad, like, sometimes when I have a GQ subscription. And, like, sometimes they'll put, like, a Kate Upton in, like, a teeny-weeny bikini on the cover or something like that. Back in the day when I was younger, it used to be Maxim. Even busting those out on a flight is, like, hard because... I'm going to skip right over that.
Just keep talking.
And, you know, people look at you like... Oh, look at this pervert.
You
in row 13.
Yeah, people thought I was watching porn on a flight.
Oh, I'll just flat out pull up Lobster Tube. I don't care. They can deal with it.
So, yeah, a little admission there. I cried at an Adam Sandler movie, and it's not one of my finer moments. We're going to get back to the phone lines in 1 second. But during the break, we were both talking. And LeBron James, no doubt, is probably a top three greatest basketball player of all time. I think we can all agree there. One of the most dominant players to ever play the game. The dude might also be a top in the world at something else. And that's having the most annoying social media presence I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
If you follow LeBron on Instagram by any chance, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This dude is the worst. He does the selfie singing. First, he does a lot of the workout stuff in the weight room. Like, all right, dude, yeah, I get it. You're making me feel bad about my dad bod. You got like a 12-pack with a 6-pack on top of that. Yes. We get it. You're ripped. Then he does the other annoying thing because he has a driver, so he's usually in the backseat of his car. He does like the fist pump selfie video sing along to the rapping.
Well, there was the famous one that went viral either last year or 2 years ago where he was doing it in the gym and then somebody like recreated it and did it perfectly. And it's
awful. Nobody needs to see this, dude.
No, I'm about
because I pulled up Instagram during the break just trying to reset my mind and I saw LeBron singing and rapping in this selfie video. I'm going, dude,
this is the worst. Can you please stop? I'm about to unfollow you. And then they have this new thing, and it's awful. This past Tuesday, and look, LeBron's a great father, great role model, yes. All of that. Yes. He really is. You couldn't build a better stereotype for kids to look up to. Let me just get that out of the way before I now rip him. So it's their family dinner, and they have the private chef at the Bel Air Mansion or West Hollywood Mansion, wherever
Anthony
he is.
Anthony Davis was there.
He had Anthony Davis over on Tuesday, and they've been doing this thing now for like... And he even has T-shirts made up. It's like a whole production.
Yes.
They do Taco Tuesday, which we used to get in high school at LaSalle. It was Taco Tuesday. It was my favorite day of the week. You get the big old taco shell bowl, make a big old taco salad. Love Taco Tuesday.
Taco Salad Day was Thursdays for us.
Oh, good for you.
Which is weird. Taco Tuesday makes more sense.
What, Pat, you better than Taco Tuesday?
I was just bragging about your accomplishments in high school, about how you're...
Yeah, we had Taco Tuesdays. And I had a very selective palate back then. It was one of the few things I ate from the cafeteria. I was usually a Chipwich and Cherry Coke lunch kind of guy. Epitome of healthier. But I was skinny back then, so it's fine. So Taco Tuesday I love. So I'm not rigging. They do this new annoying thing with the James family, and Anthony Davis was over on Tuesday. And they do this thing where LeBron goes, "What day is it?" And all the kids and his wife get involved, and they go, "Taco Tuesday!"
Yeah, it's annoying hearing you say it, too.
It's the worst thing in the world. And then they go around the table, and they're all like, Taco Tuesday!
Yeah, and it's one at a time.
Yeah, and then LeBron... Dude, I don't know how much more I can take. I'm about to unfollow the dude on Instagram, and I know nobody cares about that.
Yeah, someone should alert him to that.
I know.
Because I think it'll change if he knows that Jamie Lynch will unfollow him.
Totally. I should let Woj know that I'm about to unfollow LeBron.
Tyrone's unhappy with you.
Tyrone, you got an issue with LeBron James' Instagram game? It's terrible. Come on, don't defend this.
Yeah, it's so bad to see a father with his kids. That's
no,
so
I talked to...
And all the love that they show as they have family dinner around the table.
I preface this
that's
with...
That's awful.
He's a great
don't
human.
Don't you ever post you with your child. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it.
No, I preface the conversation with he's an incredible role model, a great father, and everybody should want their child to grow up like LeBron.
And then you say, but let's rip them. So now that you have a child, you better not ever post a single thing, or we're going to come on the air and rip you.
If I do something as awful as Taco Tuesday, you can rip me. Please.
You ripped his children too because they do it.
Yeah, it's awful.
So I'm going to rip your daughter.
It's
like,
awful.
Look what you put in your position.
It's
awful.
To
rip your daughter.
I don't want
to
see this stuff anymore. I'm unfollowing him, and I know that's going to upset LeBron. He's a great human, a great father, all of it. Great role model for the kids. Really is. Taco Tuesday's
when you're
awful.
At the pumpkin patch with your daughter, then I come on the air and rip.
Pumpkin patch Wednesday!
Right, and I have to rip your poor daughter. Your wife's going to be upset.
Skylar's tough. She can take it, man. She's 3 months old.
I don't think she can take it.
She's got crocodile skin.
Hey, real quick, did you ever see Click with Adam Sandler?
Yes.
Did you cry?
No.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.